Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And we'll see how this goes and what love letter we are led to. But just remember that every one of life's moments has within it the seeds of a love letter to someone. And when you write it and stamp it and mail it, any good impulse or thought you have, you make somebody else's life richer. And you also make your own, because bathing in the positive is just so darn much fun. Today's guest is Debbie Cucalone, who is a singer and songwriter with a forthcoming show in San Francisco. I met Debbie, and we ended up standing, do you remember this, next to a parking meter.
I do.
For 45 minutes and talking. We were late for the evening. We were supposed to. She was so much fun, and I knew how many stories she had to tell. And the fact that she starts every little new project with May the Angels Be With Us, let you just have a hint. Debbie, I want to go to you. Talk about your, when is your show?
My show is forthcoming. It's April the 2nd, Thursday evening, mm-hmm. at 7:30 p.m. at this wonderful entertainment and restaurant, sort of supper club, really, called Angelica's. And it's located at 863 Main Street in Redwood City.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to know, because I do know, I want you to talk about your style of singing, because I know you also do impersonations.
Yes, I have.
Is that what we call it?
Yes, I did used to do some impersonations.
Would you be willing to talk about that? Because it is such a fascinating ability. And I think in San Francisco, some of our favorite entertainers, maybe all over, are good impersonators, a good Barbara or a good Judy.
I did. I come from a family that we always used to. There's a lot of laughter in the family and a lot of joking around. So anyway, we were always impersonating people just for fun and stuff. And then when I started singing, someone said to me, "You should do Liza Minnelli." So I just sort
and did
of
you think you could?
No, I really didn't at the time. But mm-hmm. I just decided, okay, why not? And then I ended
Is
up.
Is that because they thought you looked like her with dark hair and big brown eyes?
Yeah, they thought I looked like her. And then I started, you know, doing shows all around the city. And the whole Bay Area, actually, for about 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it was really a wonderful experience and very much like going to a circus to me, in a sense, when we got to do parties and I would walk in and there'd be like 5 or 10, say for an Academy Awards evening, 5 or 10 other impersonators, you know, from Barbara Streisand to Ella Fitzgerald to Marilyn and Elvis, who are always there, Clint Eastwood, you know, whatever it was.
I guess there are people who are always there.
And I would always look at them and think, God, this is just such an amazing little world to be in. You know, it's just really
And you would come with your specific assignment to these
parties. I would come with my Liza face on, uh-huh. yes. And I would just be Liza for the evening, and we'd have the red carpet or whatever the event was about. Uh-huh. And perform away. It was great fun.
I have a question. You just touched on something, because I think even though I know you now, you're going to touch on things. When you said, and they're always there, are there entertainers who are easier to impersonate, or are there entertainers who are just so part of our cultural heart that
yes.
we need to see them more often?
Yes. That's why I say specifically Elvis Presley and Marilyn Monroe. They're always working.
I wouldn't have thought yes. Marilyn Monroe.
Always, always working, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. She is still quite alive, as is Elvis. Yes.
Well, because first of all, costuming is important.
Yes.
For Elvis, I mean, that's just a huge part of it.
Right.
And for Marilyn Monroe also.
Yes.
Judy Garland? Well, there was that short tuxedo coat. I mean, I don't know, what do you wear if you're Judy?
You could do that, or you could do a number of different things. I know there's a gal, I believe her name is Connie Champagne, that does Judy Garland around mm-hmm. town. She does her shows. So
sometimes it's a matter of costume, though, really adding to the overall effect.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And
yes.
sometimes not. Like, you don't see people doing Queen Latifah, for example.
No, that's true.
She's yeah. one of my favorites.
Yeah, so I love her as well.
Yes.
Love her.
Maybe
yes.
that's because she's still doing it.
Maybe.
Oh, but you don't have to wait for somebody to have passed away to do the impersonation.
No, you absolutely do
okay.
not. No, because there's people doing Madonna, J-Lo, Beyonce.
Oh, there are.
Yeah, there was Michael Jackson when he was alive.
Oh, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when you do those, do you tend to lose yourself for the coloration that you've taken on?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that okay? Does that feel good sometimes or not?
It does feel good for me because Liza is a big figure. So
in your life?
Just a big figure uh-huh. in life. You know, she's not a small kind of character. So to come out and play Liza and be big like that and big and bold, it kind of pulls out another side of yourself that you would
normally. Oh, okay. So then you're not losing.
You know, you're not losing
part of yourself. You're finding that other part. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So what are you doing now? Because I'm gathering you're doing some other kind of...
Yeah, I started becoming interested in songwriting. I was a lyricist for many, many years. And then I sort of got frustrated not having the music end of it. So I decided to study with a private teacher, which I'm now doing. I'm in my second year. And I think if at this age I had known how much work it was going to be to study the theory of music and how all the chords are put together and just all of it, I'm not so sure I would have undertaken it. But it has been a wonderful challenge. And now it adds to the flavor of being able to be a lyricist and combine the two together. I look forward to collaborating with people. And I love songwriting because it's like a special little gift that... helps you, you know, in life. If you have something on your mind that you want to get across, you know, you can just put it in a song. And, you know, like there's been so many times in life where people have been either blue or sad or, you know, even happy, and you hear a song. And if the songwriter has done a good job, you feel like that song was specifically written to you. Do you know what I mean?
Or for you. I mean, there's certain music reaches you, like music and scent.
Yes,
I think,
that's
are the two
true.
Things
yes.
that get in there like nothing else.
Right,
Evoking.
Yeah. Evoking. Mm-hmm. And I feel musically infused myself, being born with Panamanian parents, that when I walked home and opened the door, you know, music was blaring from all different things, from, you know, Celia Cruz, Daniel Santos, you know, Willie Colon, Barbara Streisand, Connie Francis. There's just all this great music, and my mother would whistle like I sing, so she would be... cooking the dinner and, you know, I'd be standing there, Mom, I'm home, you know, she'd be whistling away. So music is my best friend.
So when you, yes, I could understand that. Oh, I can understand that. When you go about writing a song, you are not looking to what other people want to hear. You're looking to what you need to say. Is that correct?
Is that not so correct? That's exactly right. Yes. It's whatever has touched you in that moment. I could be walking by on a street and listening to someone's conversation, just walking by and that, that's an interesting thought. And I'll go home and just start writing about it, never really knowing where it's going to end. But then you put the chords to it and it comes out really nice.
You see things in terms of tune and rhythm. I mean, when you walked in here, I said something and you immediately sang a couple of lines with that sound. I don't remember what it was, but I was struck by that.
My life is a song. I'm a walking song. I know. It either drives people crazy or I think they find it amusing. But I came downstairs and the gentleman in the elevator, you know, I was singing to him, I like that music so much.
You know, well, like, you know, that's almost like, okay, with no disrespect intended, because it's actually the opposite. But that sounds almost like a neurological need. That when you hear something, it comes out of you in that other form.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I guess it's like a dancer when they, when they feel something, they almost go into a pose, you know, and an artist just has to draw it or something, you know? Yeah. I feel that way with music. It's kind of like, you know, people have their best friend or like their pets, you know, I feel like music is almost like my pet. It's there to always either, you know, it can make me really happy. You know, if I'm sad, it will bring me up. I'm reminded of being in college and when I'd come home, I didn't know at the time what I was doing, but I was actually giving my roommates little concerts because if they were feeling kind of sad or something, I would match their mood with whatever song they were feeling.
Oh, like to acknowledge what they were feeling, not to drag them out.
Because I don't think you can do that in life. You have to sort of acknowledge where they're at. And then I didn't realize what I was doing again, but I would just raise like the vibration of the song. The next song would be a little higher.
Oh, so you could start where they were and lift them out.
And I lifted them up and out. And then by the end of it, we would be either dancing on the tables or dancing in the living room to the Rolling Stones or, you know, the Motown or whatever. And then all of a sudden your mood had shifted. And that's when I really realized, wow, the power of music and the healing power of it is really quite extraordinary.
Now, looking at your own life, what would you say, okay, what is your decade? I don't know how old you are.
Do I say that on here?
You could say whatever you want or not. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, well, mine was the 40s and 50s.
Uh-huh.
So I'll go first.
Okay,
you see
all right.
But, I mean, music, well, the 40s, never mind, really. But, like, big band does not speak to me. And do you remember that the movie Awakenings, the movie about Oliver Sacks and the people who were in a coma from the encephalitis? And then the orderly at some point, they always had music in this hospital.
Okay.
And the orderly said, "You're playing the wrong music. They don't relate to that." And he put on some big band music, and they came out of the coma.
Yes.
Realized at that point, I said to my husband, "I'm going to give you a tape of what you play if I ever go into a coma, because if you play that stuff, I'm never coming out."
Right. That was very wise
and
of you.
And I knew it. I think people should do that.
Well, like, they here's do my, that with Alzheimer's
my,
people, too.
Yes, this is my coma CD.
Yes.
Keep it handy. I'm serious.
Absolutely.
I'm so serious.
I am on the same page.
Okay, so
you
what is your, like, usually it's
well, mine was the
60s school.
And the 70s, yeah.
Is that
Motown is my most favorite. I love Motown.
But what did you first, what was your first crush to? What song was your first crush to?
Wow, that goes way back to grammar school.
You got an early start, I see.
I did,
okay.
I know. I can't remember the name of the song, but I remember, like, I remember Still Lake, because I was raised in the city since I was 12, walking around Still Lake, and Stevie Wonder's Ma Chérie Amour was playing. And I just thought, that is the sweetest song.
Okay.
I love him. You
Does
know?
It, I mean, when you hear music, it takes you back to
it
exact
takes you,
places.
That's exactly. You can
yes.
almost remember. It's like a perfume. It's a memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a travel, time traveler for sure. You can almost remember the conversation, what you were wearing, what happened in that particular event.
Yes. And That's why Sweethearts have an Our Song.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because yes, if you're on the same page, it helps a relationship.
Yes.
And if you have an Our Song,
yes.
you're just given on the same page when that comes up.
That's right. That's very true. Yeah.
Talk about healing and stroke victims. Are you working with stroke victims?
I am not, but it's something that really interests me to be working with people on that level sometime, you know, in the nearby future, if at all possible. Because I've done different, you know, I've been interested in different healing modalities, and I am very aware of the voice and the tone that it has and the vibration that it carries for healing properties of someone that is not well. And I guess just going back to the days of, you know, like I said, my college roommates and watching sort of retrospection thinking, God, I had no idea that what I was actually doing was making people feel better through music.
Sure.
And so that would be very interesting to me to study that. I'd like to look into that.
We were talking about authenticity before.
Yes.
So yeah. A question just occurred to me, like healing properties and soothing properties.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about elevator music that's so horrible? I'm serious, because all
they
you
want
to say
you to
is,
get in and out.
Maybe that's right. All that, you know, you say elevator
they don't want you
music.
To get stuck in it. No pun intended.
Good point. I mean, sometimes it's just misused, I think.
Yeah, that's probably something not a lot of people have given much thought to, but it's certainly...
Go out on the street and say elevator music to the first four people you see, and they'll all roll their eyes.
Roll their eyes, yeah. It's all sort of that old fogey music that doesn't really go anywhere.
Oh, old fogey.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't want that.
No.
Uh-huh. Okay. Because music changes. I mean, you can see every decade... The difference
right.
in popular music, certainly.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting also when you go into a certain store.
Yeah.
You go into a department store or like a little boutique or something. And I think that has been studied, that if you play really great music, you know, the people don't want to leave. And so it tends to make you buy something even if you didn't necessarily need it.
Okay. And it also directs you, because I know that Forever 21...
Yes.
You ever go in there?
Yes.
They have. I think the music's great.
Yes, it is.
It has you just snapping along.
Yeah.
And it's youthifying.
It is youthifying.
Without being irritating.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
Good point. Yes. Because some of the other stores that you go in, if it is more for the youth, the clothing, you just want to run out.
Yeah.
It's maybe
it's
too loud.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's clever use of it.
Yeah.
What about rebellion in terms of music? Decade after get. Can you say something about that?
Yeah, I think that I think that rap and hip hop is better than rap. I particularly was not very fond. I'm not very fond of rap, although I think some of the messages can be very good. But any kind of music where again the tone of it is too heavy and harsh, they've studied that it's actually not good for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That it actually can create a lot of anger in someone.
But every generation, I mean, every few years,
yes,
somebody says a really strong goodbye to what was before, and you never hear it again.
Right.
You can't go backwards.
Yeah, that is true. It's a constant progression for that, yeah.
I mean, when Elvis Presley came along, so tame,
yes.
and people were just hysterical. hysterical over it. The churches were going nuts.
Yes,
and he's
right.
Too sexual. And
right.
And by the way, oh,
Chuck Berry, all of them,
well,
when they first came out.
And
yeah.
Elvis Presley, they were called, poor Elvis, such a just talented, talented man. They were calling him Elvis the Pelvis.
Yes.
And they were upset because he was moving his pelvis.
Right.
But you know, if you look at those tapes, he's not moving his pelvis. He's moving his knees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
So
yes, that's true.
Somehow, why is that? Because it's scary
yes.
to grown-ups when the children say, we don't want your music.
Right.
It's kind of a rejection and they're off on a dangerous ground.
I think there's that. And I think there's also the, you know, the sort of like a sexual intonation that comes with it. It's
yes.
too much at the right. time, maybe too much for the church or too much for whatever religion. They want to keep the society more, you know, tame and confined. And
mm-hmm.
so it's important. And this is an explosion all of a sudden. Even the Beatles, when they first came out, some of their stuff was too much for people. So I think
like
that,
what?
Again, music, you know, all the revolutionary
But how
stuff.
Was it too much? Oh, they had long hair.
They had long hair. They were going,
uh-huh.
yeah, they were going, when they were going, when one goes through one's own period of time, you know, we're human beings, so we're constantly evolving. I mean, that is the intention of, I think, being here. That's the hope, that we grow. So I think sometimes if a society hasn't gotten there, there's always somebody that's sort of the pioneer, if you will, that's
oh,
breaking the ground.
The border breakers.
See? Yeah.
I love those.
And so the musicians, quite often as writers and artists, it's like, you know, we are the pioneers, the breakers of ground.
Yes. And the truth is, if it didn't change,
it would be very stagnant. Yeah.
Yes, we'd have all been dead of boredom
right.
just decades ago.
Right.
You know?
So it's kind of exciting, and it may take a while, like anything else, or like any fad or new idea to come in, and
so
then people sort of adjust to it.
What do you want to do with yours?
Well, with mine, I just think there's so much negativity in the world that I would really like to, whatever I write about or whatever I sing about, you know, I just want people like to come to my show and hopefully leave a little happier or better than when they came in. That, you know, I almost see it like we're sort of like, musicians are sort of like comedians, if you will, in a way. I'd never thought about it, but I had that idea the other day. I said, we're like comedians, you know, our intention is to make people laugh and feel better, you
mm-hmm.
know, so that when they leave, they're, and it's also kind of like going to church. It's that feeling like going to church or service. When you go in, you might feel like, oh, I don't really want to be here or whatever, because you're coming in with whatever head stuff is going on. But yet, what happens when you are there? Like yesterday, I went to my great niece's baptismal, and the priest was Irish and saying how he was a preemie of a twin. Mm-hmm. He was only 1 pound, and his sister was fine, and he was born, and he was actually in a shoebox, lived in a shoebox for a year and a half.
My goodness.
And the concept of the love, yes, because he was so tiny.
Yeah.
He said the concept of his parents' love, just keeping him alive, you know, just made me burst into tears because, again, the whole idea, I think, of life.
Well, I know
really
that
love.
I know that that's a very strong part of you.
Yeah.
Because I see that how close you are to bursting into tears whenever there's a real display
right.
of genuine love.
Yeah.
So you don't want people just to feel happier, I'm guessing. You want them to learn something that they didn't know before? Or be aware of something?
Yeah, or tap into their, I know this sounds so corny, but
no,
really
corny
tap
it up.
In, corny it up, here we go,
mm-hmm.
Tap into their hearts so that they can have sort of an awakening, maybe feel something that they didn't feel before. I think that words, you know, people play things when they break up, you know, like The Way We Were, that's like a
oh,
famous
yes.
classic movie and song that, you know, every woman has played when there's been a breakup. And it's kind of funny because you play it to death and you sing it to death and you cry more tears than you ever knew you had in your little body. But then eventually, after hearing that song so many times, there is a healing that transpires until one day you wake up and you're actually smiling.
Oh, and you don't need
that song
anymore?
And you know it's
going to
be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of laugh it off and say, like, I have theme songs for everything. And one of mine is, everything's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, everything's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Everything's going to be all right. So I think that music is our friend. It's almost like going to church. It's like a little prayer that, you know, comes in our ear and tells us,
mm-hmm.
happy or sad, whatever. And that's why I think people identify with these great artists. If you've written a really good song, you know it because it's a universal message to everyone.
Oh, you know, I agree. And I'll tell you that I don't know how you are with this and how most people are, but when I hear a name a lot, and it's just part of pop culture. I tend to just ignore it. I tend to discount it a little bit. And I've learned not to do that. And how I really learned not to do that is Beyoncé. I just heard the name so much and so much and so much. And then I saw that movie, and there was a genius in it.
Right.
And I realized it was Beyoncé. And yes. I thought, I'm never going to do that again. If somebody carries half the world with them in right. their wake of their music,
right.
pay attention. I mean, Lady Gaga.
Right. And look at the transition she's going
through.
With Khalifa. So fabulous.
I mean, yes.
And with Tony Bennett. It's so
yeah,
great.
Yeah, she's a nice person.
She's a lovely person. Yes.
But
I think we'd be good friends if she were here.
Me too.
We'd have fun with her.
I think if half the world is listening.
Yes.
Then you should listen for what it is.
Right.
Oh, I'm so glad you kind of brought up that concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people do speak for some. Taylor Swift.
Oh, great. I know people may giggle, but I think she's both, for starters, she's a great songwriter.
Yes. And also, she does that thing that you were saying. You know, she takes what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. She takes what happens with whatever boyfriend and whatever else and just makes it a song.
And by the way, isn't that what...
A great song, I might add.
And isn't that what a lot of the really great writers do?
Yes.
I mean, Shakespeare sonnets, you know, they are all about... Someone.
Right.
Bob Dylan.
Right. Oh, he was such a poet. Fantastic.
So,
it's not about the voice necessarily either.
Oh, well, sure, in that case, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's important to me because I always used to be like thinking I had to have this much bigger voice. I always dreamt I could have
a
belting kind of voice. Well, they do, but I still, you know, wanted this big belting voice. It's so often we want what we don't have.
Excuse me, Ethel Merman had one.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just say, okay,
thank
no disrespect intended. Yes, that's not the whole thing.
That's not the whole thing. So I think when you realize that, then you realize you just come to share whatever gift you were born with and just to have fun with it, you know, just to get out there and have a great time and entertain people and have them come on board with you. It's your party. Like at my show, I want it to be like a big party and I want everyone to be part of it and have a great time.
I think the really good ones do that.
Yes.
They are just somehow... The leaders, so that the audience feels it's their song, like they own
it. Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And include it, you know, because like there's something called call and response where the artist says, okay, now I'm going to do this and I want you guys, this section to do this, this,
yes,
and this.
Yes, I love that.
And then let's do it. And I watch the power of that because a lot of people, you know, feel included. It's not like just you and them.
And it shouldn't be because what we were saying about music before.
Universal.
Yeah. Yes, it is theirs.
Yes,
ours.
Yes, it is.
Noah Griffin, who's a, you know Noah.
Yes, wonderful.
Oh, we were at that together.
Yes.
And at one point, he did something remarkable, is he invited the audience to sing along a particular, I think it was Don't Fence Me In.
Yes.
And at one point, he kind of forgot the next sentence. It just went out of his head. And the audience just continued without
him. That's so great.
And so he caught back up. And it was, he just did a magic thing. He gave it to them, the audience. The audience took it and, you know, stood guard until he came back. It was the most beautiful moment between a singer. Okay, love letters. Who would get your love letter if you were writing one right now? I can see that there's so many concepts and people.
I know. I think I'd just like to send it out to the whole world.
Well, sure you would, and that's what songwriting is about. But what do you put in an envelope and stamp and put an address on?
Yeah, boy, that's a really good one.
You can include yourself or any relative who's no longer here?
The first thing that came to mind was to everyone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. It's what came to mind.
Okay.
To everyone's heart, because... Dear heart.
Okay.
Dear
I was
heart.
About that. Okay. So the next one is how do you start?
And so it goes to everyone, to the whole, to
dear
everyone.
Dear heart, what do you want to say? Specifics are important.
Yeah. Dear heart, I am writing to always remind you the beauty, the power, the magic, the healing that music will bring to you. It is there around you. It is surrounding you everywhere. It is yours for the taking.
So you're really writing a letter to music then also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that sounds like a lovely project. Where will you mail this?
I was going to put it in a message in a bottle.
Okay.
And then whoever finds it.
That's a lovely thing to do. Toss it in the into the bay?
Yes, toss it in the bay.
That is so nice.
And then just everyone that finds it will, again, just like music in a song, will feel like it's just specifically
created
to them.
Are you going to say, and I ask this because I came across a message in a bottle a friend found.
Did you?
He told me about it.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I would love to see it. Can I see it? And I was so shamed. And he said, oh, no. He said, I read it, and I put it back in the bottle, tossed it back in the water so it could continue on its journey. And I thought, well, am I just the biggest selfish pig in the world? Or what? What a beautiful thing to do. Yes. So are you going to say that at the end of your letter when you've read this? Please put me back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Toss me back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Pay it forward, so to speak.
Yes. Oh, see? I like that. Will you do that?
Yes, I absolutely. Actually, I absolutely will.
And
do
a bottle that can be capped tightly or corked.
Yes.
So and what kind of bottle?
Got a Chrissy Field.
What kind of bottle?
I think I'm going to go shopping for some place that has a really sexy, beautiful, you know, bottle that's just really so
gorgeous.
That
will make people want to open it.
Yes.
And maybe...
And pass it forward, you know,
Oh, I love this.
Yes. It'll be really exciting. Actually, that's a lovely thought.
Okay.
I can't wait to do it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this particular bottle was a cobalt blue.
Ooh, but, beautiful.
Yes, but I like what you're saying. You don't know what yours is yet.
I don't know. I have to see it. I know when I'll see it, though. I know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about, are your parents still living?
They are. My dad is 90.
Oh, nice.
I'm very blessed. They're both beautiful
people. And where do they live?
They live in the city.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. So you could always write to, do you write to them ever?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I'm a writer, so to speak. They keep all my cards.
Okay. They'll have a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And who else? Let's just mention a couple of others, because writing a love letter isn't a one-shot deal.
Right.
It is really kind of a way of life. And I'll tell you something. My personal thought now at this stage is it is easier to write a note, a letter to somebody. It doesn't have to be long. It's easier to write a note than it is to complete a phone call. Yes.
On this day and age,
never get past the answering machine. And you spill your heart out on an answering machine to your best girlfriend, and her husband picks up the phone and then says, oh, Debbie called.
Called, yes, exactly.
Uh-huh, lost.
Yes.
All the love that you've poured out on this answering machine, people don't bother. Put it in an envelope, and she'll get it.
Yes. Actually, I would like to thank my parents in that one, because I did a CD called Love Journey about 4 years ago, and, you know, I thank them then, but I'd like to thank them again, because it really is...
Did you thank them in writing?
I did.
Oh, good.
I made mention to them in the.
The reason I'm asking that is my experience with this.
Yes.
Is I hear all the time, the letters you write to our parents when they're 90 and those are the ones we find on their bedside table or in their pockets.
True. Yes.
After they've passed on.
Yeah.
They keep it with them till the end.
Yes. Hitting my heart again.
Well, when you hear about it,
yes.
You know, I mean, there are so many stories with, and that letter was inside his coat
pocket.
Yes, that's
right.
And it had been in there for 4 years.
Right.
Okay, do it all.
I would like to write a letter to my parents.
As long as you're a writer.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you, darling, for doing this.
Oh, it's my joy and my pleasure.
Mom
and Dad, you'll wait for this beautiful letter. Another one that will be forthcoming, and maybe I'll put it in a bottle for you, too.
Oh, that's lovely. But then you have to deliver it in person.
I deliver. Oh, absolutely.
And then you have to
leave them all the time.
Okay, good. And then you have to leave the room when they read it, right?
Yes.
Love letters are private.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I love this. Okay, I love this, and I love you, and thank you for doing it.
I love you. Thank you, Janet. This was a joy.
Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and goodbye to...
Debbie Kukulon.
Yes. And do you have a website you want to say?
I have debbiekukulon.com. And come by and catch my show called Catch the Rhythm of the Night on April 2nd at 7:30 p.m. You can go to angelicasllc.com for tickets and information.
Perfect. You should. She is so much fun, people. Okay. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
And if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, not only is writing a love letter that special occasion, but there's so many ways to do it.
So many ways.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
Bye.
Bye.